the within the tensors, there is the there are the faculties through which the Eibishter relates, and there are the way in which the Eibishter communicates with or acts towards his creation. There's the actual there's the intellectual faculties, the wisdom that goes into creation. Chesed would be the emotions that go into creation. And then there's the sphere of Malchus, which is the act of creation. Or the power of creation, the power to actually create. So just like when people relate, the way they relate is, I have my understanding of the other person. I have my feelings towards the other person. But whatever my understanding is, whatever my feelings are, do not actually build a relationship. What builds a relationship is when I translate, when I find means of communicating my feelings towards the other person. A relationship only actually takes place when I can have all these feelings and all these ideas, but if I don't have the actual communications, what I think and what I say and how I act towards that other person that actually makes a relationship. So we say that the Eibishter has all these ideas, so to speak, where he constricts himself into functioning in a certain by a certain set of ideas and feelings. But the actual creative process, the actual communicating with something outside of himself, that comes from Sfiras HaMalchus. Actual process of lowering himself to relate to that which is outside himself comes about through Sfiras HaMalchus. So, when a person relates to another person, there is two things. There is my capacity to relate, and then there is the actual process of relating. My capacity to relate is still part of me. In other words, while I am considering what to think or what to say or what to do, okay, so that's I've already reached the point where it's part of me that exists for the sake of relating, but it's still part of me. When I actually speak and do, that is already the part that extends outside of myself, and in a sense, I am lowering myself towards that other person. I'm going outside of myself and now connecting to that other person. So certainly the creative process of the Eibishter goes through these stages. First there is the relating to creation, relating to the concept of creation, emoting towards creation, or having feelings about creation. And then there is actually Sfiras HaMalchus, which again within Atzilus is not yet a creation. It's within Atzilus, it's the Eibishter within himself, expressing within himself his capacity to communicate to a creation. Not actually thinking or talking to yourself. It's the capacity to do so. In other words, when it all comes down within yourself to the point where I now have what to say or what to do. So that's Malchus Datsilus. Malchus Datsilus Kemesha Yeredus Lupiah, the Bri Yitzir Asir, that's already the Eibush to communicating himself into a creation. In other words, the Eibush already communicating to an existence which perceives itself as separate from him. Because you can only communicate to that which is separate from you. So that's already, but normally we communicate something which is separate from us, because everything starts out separate from us. When we say that the Eibush communicates to something which is separate from him, that is the process of creating something which perceives itself as separate and distinct from it. That is called the Yirida of Atzilus Kamesh Yeredus Lubyan.
So it is through the woman's that later on the Eibush will be able to create the world, expand the world?
I wouldn't quite put it in those words. The idea is like this, that relating, my capacity to relate to someone or something else as it is within myself, it's my intellectual capacity, my emotional capacity, those are masculine attributes. How I relate, how what I think and what I feel. The actual relating, communicating, going, extending outside of myself, meaning taking those ideas and feelings and expressing them, the vehicle, the capacity for expression, the vehicle for expression are feminine. Within, so the physical embodiment and manifestation of the divine process of creation, of bringing that spiritual reality into the physical world, that this spiritual reality, which is taking place on a spiritual plane, to embody that and bring that down into the physical world, that was the Avos and the Imahot. The Avos embody the divine attributes of whether it's Chacham bin Adas or Chesed Gevurah Tiferes or and that's a fair to say, they embody the divine attributes of intellectual and emotive attributes. The Imais embodied the divine sphere of Malchus, the divine attribute of expressing, of creating. The Shvachas represent that actual divine attribute of communicating into existence. Or communicating into existence something which is separate and distinct from its creator.
Wait, so what are the
Imais? The Imais represent the divine capacity to communicate into existence.
So why do we say Baruch Hashem that made me a man in the morning prayer?
Why not?
That's a separate question.
Because why our object, well, it's not really a question, because men and women, I guess, after marriage are one. Vakish mishto vayul echad. But if the purpose is to serve Hashem as much as possible, and a woman is able to serve Hashem more, then why in the morning we say, bless Hashem that made me a man?
Why more? Why find that it's more?
Because you said that it is through woman that Hashem is able to bring this this creation into being. Because
through the man that is also through the point there is not
the process itself. You said the outside process, the extending outside.
Each one represents a different part of the process. Okay, in the creative process as we know it, masculine aspects of the creative process are higher, and the feminine aspects of the creative process are lower. And in fact, that's why it says that the Avos did not want to marry the Shvachas, because they were disgusted by the potential of their existing something which perceives itself as separate from God. In practice, in the act, in the creative act, the intellectual and the emotional faculties are much higher than the on faculty of speech or action, which communicates those ideas or feelings. On a deeper level, we say that that which is the final product is the ultimate purpose of everything. On a deeper level, it's the final product, even though it appears to be the lowest, it is that final product which on a deeper level was the purpose of the whole process. That's very nice. But that is only realized when you've actually achieved what you set out to do.
Yeah.
After the whole process is completed, which is why in time of loss of love, Elam Abba, then we will say that Nekeva to Sevigeva, that the feminine aspect, it encompasses the masculine.
Meaning, contained within it.
That a woman of valor is the crown of her husband, the crown being higher. That is only after the completion of the entire process, when the ultimate purpose of everything is fully revealed, then you will see that the feminine is ultimately higher. Higher in the sense that it is the ultimate purpose of everything. But in the process, in a world in which there is high and low, in a world of higher and lower, of a hierarchy of priorities, it is the others that are higher, and the noise that are lower, and the shvachas that are even lower. On a deeper level, what we're saying is, in terms of fulfilling the tachlis, in terms of fulfilling the purpose of everything, the shvachas are, the noise are higher than the others, and the shvachas are even higher than the noise.
What do you mean when you say the body, the body is God's attribute?
There are spiritual realities which are spiritual realities whether or not they are part of our physical world and experience. It is the others that brought these spiritual realities down to earth. It is as part of the process of preparing the world for Machatera. By bringing the spiritual realities down to earth, they enabled their descendants in turn to prepare them to receive the Torah, in which they actually completely bridge the gap between the spiritual and the physical reality.
In other words, you said that the upper spheres are how God relates to his creation, or the potential, right? In other words, you say that Avraham Bali Chesed means that he brought the relationship of Chesed that God has with the universe into actuality.
It says, the chesed of Atzilus came before God and said, yeah, now that Abraham is down in the world, I no longer have anything to do. I have become superfluous now that Abraham is down in the world. So obviously we're using anthropomorphisms to describe chesed Atzilus having conversations with God. That the concept behind that being, that yes, the chesed d'atzilus, meaning as we understand it as a spiritual reality, a spiritual bridge between God and his creation, okay, that spiritual bridge has now become embodied in a physical being, in a physical entity. It is now no longer a spiritual reality that's removed from the world. Spiritual reality that's part of it. Abraham is Chesed Atzilus.
So, it's hard for me to see Ein Sof in this process. The people of Israel are like the woman. It's a mashal. Correct me if I didn't understand correctly. The people of Israel are like the woman. And the Eibishter is like the man.
In some
mashals.
Some mashalim, and the other mashalim that are the other way.
Okay. So is that obviously that take away the statement?
You have to understand each thing is relative to a certain concept.
Yeah, but the Eibishter is Beli Rashid, Beli Tachlit. Ein Sof is above even the not depending on anything. It's full existence of the Eibishter Kadosh. Yeah, so it's not depending on the woman. It's not depending on Israel. See, like before we said that the man.
One level we said that God doesn't depend on anyone or anything.
Yes.
On the other hand, he does, because he chooses to. See, somebody who is truly independent doesn't have to be independent. Someone who is truly independent can also choose to be dependent if they want. So God chooses to be dependent on the Jewish people. In fact, we sometimes describe his dependency on the Jewish people. The Jewish people are compared to the mother, and God is compared to a child.
It's a mashal in his... there is a mashal actually that says, Ke'ish asher imot nachmo. And that's also showing that the Rabbi is Mashiach.
The Eibishter is not forced to be dependent on anyone or anything, but he can choose to be whatever he wants. Including the pen. Because he can do whatever he wants. Because he's on soft, he can do whatever he wants.
Another thing, the Torah starts with Bet. So, the Aleph point of view, I guess there is no independent. The Torah doesn't even.
On one level, God Himself is dependent on no one, on nothing and no one. At the same time, He chooses to enter into a relationship with the Jewish people, in which, to a certain degree, He makes Himself dependent on their actions and on their the choices that they make. Okay, we'll stop there. The final paragraph on that particular page, which is in the middle of Similarly, we can explain in regarding also the Beis Hamikdash, the sanctuary. It is explained in the teachings of Chassidus the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was constructed of stones specifically. As opposed to the tabernacle, which was from cedar wood, okay, which is something which grows, as opposed to stones which are inanimate. To the point that it is a halacha, that one is not permitted to build in the Beis Hamikdash with any wood which extends outward from the walls, as opposed to wood which is recessed into the walls. Kivan shehaisabai me'ein hashleimus delasad lavai, shesviras hamalchus tia l'mayla mizor, en sheskai lateres bai. So Chassidus explains this is because the Beis Hamikdash was similar to the state which will be, the state of perfection, which will be in the future time to come, at which point the sphera of Malchus will be higher than Zah, which is short for Ze'er Ampen, which refers to the six emotive divine faculties, Eishes Chayala Teres Baila, that the feminine aspect of godliness will be higher, as explained, as alluded to in the verse, that a woman of valor is the crown of her husband. It is therefore that it was built from stones, daimen, which are inanimate, shemeda al sviras hamalchus, which allude to the sphera of malchus, the inanimate, passive receptor. The leme atzis shitin tsemeach shemeda al zah, and not from cedar wood, which is something which grows, which alludes to Zohar, which alludes to those divine emotive faculties, because the emotions are one of the notable qualities of emotions is that they grow and develop. Avo, and actively and aggressively. Avo loymi barzel, shelamata me'avonim, shemeda al sfinas hamachos b'yiridas ubya. However, the Beis Hamikdash is built not from iron, which iron is even lower than stones within the inanimate world itself. Iron is considered lower than stones, as we explained earlier. Shemeda al sfinas hamalchus biridasa libya. That iron alludes to the sphere of malchus as it descends into the created worlds. Yesh lema, we can say sheba beis hamikdash de lo asid lo. That the beis hamikdash, in the actual beis hamikdash, which will be rebuilt in the future time. Tizgala ma'ilus ha-malchus leirak kefisha hibatzis, will be revealed the quality of Malchus not only as it is in Atzilus, as it is within the divine, elagamu be'ikah b'yiridasa l'bia, but also and primarily in its descent into the realm of creation, the worlds of being Yetzira Asir. As opposed to in the first Beis Hamikdash was only revealed the Maila of Sfiras HaMalch, which is why it was made of Avon. But in the future Beis Hamikdash he revealed the Maila of Sfiras HaMalch even as it descends into Bri Yitzira Asiya, Shetizbati Bachezik V'tekif Leirak Avonim Elagam De Bazel Shulchozik Yesu Me Avonim Eret Sfiras HaMalch Asher Avoneha Bazel. Okay, which will be expressed in the strength not only of stones but also of iron, which is stronger than stones, which explains why Eretz Yisrael is praised with the fact that its stones are iron, because iron is stronger than ordinary stone. Okay, so Eretz, which is talking about Sfiras HaMalchus, will be revealed the Maila of Sfiras HaMalchus Asher Avoneha Barzel Al derech milus hashvachas legabe yemois shleimus binyan raliyus hamalchus shemurumezus barashatevus debarzim. Similar to the idea that is expressed of the advantage of the maid servants over the mistresses, which we explain is the ultimate building and elevation of malchus, which is alluded to in the rashatevus of the word barzel. Ula yesh lema. Okay, so Avonim represents the shlemus of we say that Avonim of the Beis Hamikdash represents the shlemus of the me'ein of Lasulava, the Aliyah of Sfiras HaMalchus. That's even higher than the other spheres. Lasulava, the actual state of Lost Love will be the Milo that will be revealed, the Milo of Barzal, which is even higher than the Milo of Avonim. And then it says, Ulay Shlemish, a Shlemish to Barzal, the Dusha, the Samish, the Shisha, the Lerak, the Chazik, the Take of Hanitzrius, and the Gam, the Kasha, the Yonah, the Lerak, the Avonim, and the Gammy Barzal. The Rebbe says, perhaps we can say that the ultimate Shlemish of Barzal of Holiness, which will be expressed in the third Beis Hamikdash, will come not only be expressed in allegorically by the fact that it is an eternal edifice, but rather will actually be structurally, will also be not only from stones but also from iron. So the power, the union of powers of the Kusha will be expressed actually in physical terms, that perhaps it will actually be physically built from iron. Shabarzel Atzmi Yechelik Me'abinyan the Beis Hamikdash Atzmi. The Barzel itself will be a part and parcel of the construction of the Beis Hamikdash itself. So where do we see that there's a possibility for such a concept, for such a house? So the Rebbe is going to explain. Now explain that even though it seems the sources in Halacha would seem to indicate that way. Right? Rebbe says like this: Basil Anksiv Mishkan of the Mikdash Shehechlu Beis Hamikdash. Chazal tell us that Basil is not mentioned in the list of ingredients of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash because it is through Basil, other that is compared to Basil, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So this is Koyal by Zishu by Sheni Shenechlu by Yidei Basil. This alludes to the first and the second temples, which were destroyed by Basil. In other words, the reason why Basil is not an appropriate ingredient in the construction is because ultimately they will be destroyed by Basil. Bashangi Mikdash Arasid Bayis Nitzu Shoei Shaykh Bechorva. But when you're talking about the future Beis HaMikdash, in which it is in which destruction is not a possibility. So if destruction is not a possibility, so there's no concern about the negative effects of Basil. So obviously there's no concern about the potential negative that exists in Basil. Because in the future, the whole existence of Basil, the Umas, of Basil as a force that opposes holiness will no longer exist. Therefore it's possible, and not only is it possible, but it should be built with iron. Because this emphasizes the tremendous accomplishment, the tremendous state of perfection which is brought about by transforming iron. The same iron, the same iron which destroyed previous temples, with Basil, that it's transformed to iron, shenasachelik b'habinyan the Beis HaMikdash, that has actually become a part of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He points out in footnote 97 from Avos de Rav Nosson that it says Yitzhar Adayim LeBarzel Sheitilu B'techa Er. Yitzhar is compared to iron that is in the furnace. As long as it's in the fire, you could make out of it anything you want. While it's still in its molten state, you can make out of it anything, you can impose any shape you wish for. So this is a relic that the whole Metzias, the whole Tachas of the Yetzirah is compared to Basil, the whole Indian of Umatze is that it should be transformed and shaped in a way that it to be a force for positive. This we could explain that what this that it says in Divrei Ayonim, in a gale of Pulosi shall David, Bachonis Kaladar shall be in his image. In Divrei Ayonim, it lists the actions of David HaMelech, everything that he did in order to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He was told that he himself would not have the merit to do the actual building. But he went and did all the preparations, including buying the property and preparing the various materials that would be needed. So it says, Achinesi lebeis elikai, I have prepared for the house of my God, Hazav lezav, Ba'kesef lekesef, Ba'necheshes lenecheshes, Ba'barzel lebarzel. I prepared, set aside gold for the gold that will be needed in the house. I have set aside the silver for the silver that will be needed, the copper for the copper, and the iron for the iron. And it says, Barzel Meya Elef Kikar, that the amount of barzel that David HaMelech set aside, the amount of iron that David HaMelech set aside for the building of the Beis HaMikdash was 100,000 kikar. So what is all this preparation? What is he preparing all this iron for? Then he says, you could say that what it's telling us is that this preparation of the iron was not for the actual Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, but rather it was preparation for the ultimate future Beis HaMikdash. David Malki Mashiach. ultimate Beis HaMikdash, which will be built by Melech HaMashiach, who is also referred to as David. Shabinyani Yeledak Mizav Kesim Vecheshis B'Tachas HaShlemos Olegami Barzim. That its built, its construction will be not only from gold, silver, and copper, in the ultimate shleimus of those materials, but also it will be made from barzel.
By the way, the amount of barzel that you list there is roughly the amount that you would need to build a structure about the size of the base of Mikdash using modern methods where you build a steel superstructure and hang the facade off of it.
What?
The amount that he listed, if you figure that out in terms of tons, it comes out to be about the amount of steel you would need to build a structure the size of the Beis HaMikdash using the modern construction methods where you build a steel frame and hang the facade off of it. I'm just pointing that out, that it's an interesting thing.
What, so you figured out how much it is?
Yeah, when the Rebbe first said that, I got together with a couple of guys and we figured out about how much it is. I don't remember the numbers, it was a while ago, but remember, it came out to about what you would need in terms of tons of steel to build a structure about that size by building it the way, you know, if you've ever seen the way they put up a modern building, a steel frame and then put the facade on top of it.
Right.
And that's about the right amount.
Okay.
It may or may not be the way they're going to do it, but it's interesting that it comes out that way.
Okay. By me. Pizza yesh lema shen yana shel asara b'teves hu. Haskalas binyan mikdash ha'asid. B'gerura ha'asid. Based on this we could say that the real union of asara b'teves is the actual beginning of the process of building the future temple and the future redemption. Af ha'pish ha'matzid asara b'teves ha'ya haskalas ha'mudas b'chum b'ez ha'mikdash. Even though the siege of Asar HaTavis was what? The beginning of what? The events that led up to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't care, let's check out what it says. Shavach, Rezeval, Yidei, Zayivni, Vem, Mikdashos, Bayis, Nitzri. However, the ultimate purpose behind all of that, all of those negative events, was that following this and through this should be built the future temple, an eternal edifice. Nimtza comes out, Shaschal, Samura is the Churban Beis HaMikdash, at the beginning of the what? The events of what? Destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Higam Ubeikir is also and primarily what? Shaschal is HaBinyan, the Mikdash, the beginning of the construction of the future temple. Inyan Zeh. This is the Rumus Vasim and Shinit and Meshach Islam Matz, that's sort of a Tevez. This is alluded to in the Simon that was given in connection to the siege of the Tenth of Tevez. As the Eivish tells the Navi, Atakach Lecha Macham Vaz Barzel, you should take a pan of iron, Minosat, a secure barzel, and you should stand it up as a wall of iron, Eis Hila Beis Yisrael, it is a house, it is a sign unto the House of Israel, Shachavon, the Vatal Shalaskol, Sakurman, I did Basil Lumaza, the Shalachis at the Skalash, the Brazil, the Dusha, the Vesam, the Shalasid. It's that ultimately he says, make it like a wall of iron. In other words, a wall of iron is, the simon is made of iron. The Dafka, the simon was Dafka through an union of iron. To show that even though the iron, on the one hand, nowadays the iron alludes to destruction, as we said that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed through Edom, through Barzel, yet at the same time in the same Ramas is also the Ramas of the building of Barzel, which would be the building of the third Beis HaMikdash lost blood, which will actually be built with Barzel.
You use iron or you use steel?
Steel is not something which appears in nature. Steel is treated iron, no? alloy, a mixture.
Basically iron, and you put in a little bit of other things that hardens your strength.
But for construction, you have to use steel. Is that the thing? You don't work directly with iron.
Nowadays they use structural steel, which it's basically iron with a little bit of
strong.
A small amount of things added. There's all kinds of different steel.
Well, there. I mean, if you temper iron, just a long and tedious process.
The whole science of metallurgy, that's the science of how they make steel, different kinds of steel. They make it in different temperatures, in different processes, whatever, and make it different strengths and make it have different characteristics.
Scientifically, when
you speak of iron is Fe, element of iron, and it's found in nature and
No, but there is an element onto itself that is called iron.
Yes, iron. There is an element onto itself called iron.
Right. Steel is composed of almost entirely iron with a very small amount of other
materials. An iron alloy.
But we would assume that the base of magnesium would be built with steel or iron?
I don't know. I mean, apparently there's this big hunk of iron or steel. I mean, what they're going to do with it, I don't know, a big lump of stuff. And, you're going to want to do something with it, and how you do it, you put it in an electric furnace and build yourself structural beams or however. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I guess
we'll have to wait and see.
This is going to be a natural type of material, or is it going to be man-made? If it's man-made, it's steel. If it's natural, it has
to be. Keep in mind, don't get too hung up on this, because the technology of how you actually fabricate metals has changed a lot in the last, it's gone through quite a few changes in, say, the last 100 years, where it's gone through many, many different kinds. I mean, the way they make it now is very different from the way they made it 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, which is radically different from the way they made it 50 years before that, which is, so how exactly they're going to use this stuff, we'll see, but I wouldn't get too hung up on that detail.
Okay. V'yom tak yaser. And this will come out even sweeter. It fits even nicer. Shashach is a good I see the Murumezis can be technical as man that sort of it. That the connection to the Gula I see is not only connected to the events of our Sarabatavis, but also to the time, to the place in the calendar, in the cycle of time. Of Asara B'Teves. Chedesh Teves Hu Chedesh HaAsiri. As it says in Megillah's Esther, Chedesh HaAsiri Hu Chedesh Teves. The month of Teves is the 10th month. L'minyan HaChadashim, to the counting of the months, Mechedesh Nisan Chedesh HaGul. Starting, we count starting from the month of Nisan, which is also referred to as the month of redemption. Ubechedesh Hasidi Atzmi Biyayim Hasidi. Asara B'Teves within the 10th month itself comes out on the 10th day. Hasidi Sheba Hasidi. The 10th within the 10th, which we know that the union of 10 is connected to the union of Kedesh. Hasidi Yia Kedesh. As it says, the 10th shall be holy. Okay. That happens to be in this week's parsha. Shereimis al Ashleimis de Gula Asidah Shabbati Ashleimis de Esa, which alludes to the Shleimis of the future redemption, at which time we will have the Shleimis of the number 10, as Chazal tell us on the pasuk Ali Osir, that refers to David HaMelech singing the praises of Hashem on a musical instrument, Ali Aser. Shira Asiris, the Gemara refers to that there will be the, so we say, Chazal tells us that there will be a 10-stringed instrument. Also, the Geula is connected to Shira Asiris, the 10th Shira. Para Asiris, the 10th Red Heifer. Uminyan Asiri, the 10th counting of the Jewish people. Chain be Eretz Yisrael, and so too in Eretz Yisrael, Leidak Eretz Sheva Umes, will be not only the land of seven nations, Ela Eretz Eser Umos. But it will be, Mishlemus of Eretz Yisrael will be that it will be composed of a land of 10 nations. Zeis V'ay. This and also, Chedesh Tevis Kel Uve Miyuchet Ha'asiri Shabay. The month of Tevis, including and especially the 10th day in it, who Yerach She'aguf Nana Min Haguf. The Gemara informs us on why Esther Hamalka was called into Achashverosh, the Chedesh Ha'asiri Hu Chedesh Tevis, in the 10th month of the year, which is the counting from this, which is the month of Tevis, because it is the year when the body draws pleasure from the warmth of another body. It's the time when the cold season is here, and it is the height of the winter season, and at that time is when, in order to actually, the cold penetrates the body in such a way that in order to draw warmth, the ultimate warmth that one derives in this month is from another body. So Chassidus explains that following the system that whenever it refers to the king in Megillas Esther, referring to the Eibushah, so going into the king in the month of Tevis is going into Melech HaFashverosh in the month of Tevis, Esther HaMalka, which represents the Jewish people, goes to the Eibushah, to Melech HaFashverosh, represents the Eibushah in the month of Tevis, because it is the time that the Guf is Nanam and Aguf. So Hasidus explains, Shaguf Kivayachal Gulamayla, Mahusir Atzmusi is better. That the guf kiviyachal above, which is obviously not a physical guf, but we're talking about, referred to it as a guf in the sense that it is the true existence, the yesh ha'amiti, v'husei v'atzmusi zvorech, the Eibush's very essence, nana kiviyachal mea guf kilamata dekolechad v'echad v'yisrael, derives pleasure from the physical body of the Jew down here, of each and every Jew down here. Shekoy v'yikar ala mayim v'matzah v'loz v'loz, which alludes to primarily the state of affairs that will be in the future time, because at that point in time, the guf will be, have a state, will have achieved a higher level of connectedness to its source, to the degree that the neshama will actually derive sustenance from the body. More than this, that in the ultimate plus of love is that will be revealed and expressed the divine, the delight of God, the very essence, in the physical body. And that Gosh you say to the Kriya Shamazan. This is with greater emphasis in the way it comes out, the Kriyas of this year, the year Tav Shin Nun days. Shasira Batevis Khalbi Yema Shishi Bashavura Shahukhu Bay Kitev. But the 10th of Tevis falls out on the third day of the week, the day which in creation we find that Hashem said that it was good, twice. Apam ha-shniya kefal b'kitev b'negei l'briyaz desha esev mazriya zera l'mineyu v'eitz esev priya shazari b'eilu v'neyu. The second, the doubling of the goodness that we find on the third day was by the creation of the grasses which sprout seed and the trees which give off seed that is of that species. It's the planting of seed includes and brings about and facilitates the beginning of the growth of the fruits. So this is the ending of Asara B'Tevis, okay, which seems to be the beginning of the destruction, but actually the beginning of Golos, as we will explain, that Golos is compared to planting seeds, and within the planting process itself is already included the ultimate growth that will follow, but it must be Mashish Shebechal Asara B'Tevis, and similarly on the third day, the week in which Asara, the Teves, falls out. That when it falls out on that day, it emphasizes even more that the beginning of the destruction of the exile is actually the beginning of the redemption. Similar to planting, which includes and brings about the beginning of the growth, kiyodua, as it is known, shagolos nimshul isriya, that the exile is compared to planting seed, kimashikosav uzratio libaretz, as it is written in the prophet Hosea, that God says about the Jewish people, I have planted her for me in the earth. Shaydeza nasis atzmicha beribri godul yes, that it is through this planting that it brings about growth in a much greater measure. K'maymer azalkulam adam zereya saw alak de'la'achnes kama kurin. Does a person bother planting a saw except in order to reap, to bring in many kurin? Ad v'tachlis haribuy ad ein saw. The ultimate purpose of the planting of the Jewish people in the earth and in exile is not only to bring back a greater return, but ultimately to bring back an infinite return. Just as Bigashmius, every planting has in it in potential an infinite return, because those fruits can in turn be planted to produce other fruits, which can in turn be planted to produce other fruits ad infinitum. So too is the union of Golos ultimately intended.